Pope Benedict XVI recalled the legacy and final days of suffering of Pope John Paul II on this first anniversary of his predecessor's death. In his Angelus address, the Holy Father described how the late Pope lived out his mission to guide the Catholic Church until the very end.
On this first anniversary of the death of Pope John Paul II, let us commend his noble soul to God's loving mercy and pray that his tireless service to the gospel will bear even more abundant fruit for the Church's growth in the faith, hope, and love.
Speaking to the tens of thousands of faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square, the Pope said John Paul II died as he always lived, animated by the indomitable courage of faith, abandoning himself to God and entrusting himself to Holy Mary.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum.
The pilgrims are rapidly increasing in the Eternal City as we speak. Roman officials expect between 100 and 150,000 to attend this weekend's commemorative services. The anniversary culminates tonight with a prayer vigil in the square comprised of the rosary, song and reflections from John Paul II and finishing at the exact time of his death, 9:37 p.m. This is also when Pope Benedict will address the crowds from the window of the papal apartments. Almost everything is set to mimic that very occasion 1 year ago when people from far and wide kept watch. Emma McCarthy takes us back to those final moments.
Pope John Paul II began slipping in and out of consciousness the morning of April 2, 2005. The news of his worsening condition spread like wildfire through the ranks of journalists who were camped out at the Vatican press office. But it wasn't until 7 p.m. that evening that the Holy See press office director, Joaquin Navarro-Valls, confirmed these rumours. Already alerted, tens of thousands of faithful had been streaming into St. Peter's Square as the Pope lay dying. Some had spent all night in quiet and moving candlelight vigils, aware that there was little hope for his recovery, but determined to keep him company in prayer in his final hours. A host of TV cameras and satellites beamed images across the world of men, women and children as they clutched rosaries, their faces turned up to the window of the Apostolic Palace, where for years they had found passion, faith and guidance.
Carissimi fratelli e sorelle.
Then, at 10 p.m. that night, on the conclusion of the last decade of the Rosary, Archbishop Leonardo Sandri, substitute of the Secretariat of State, stepped up to the microphone before the Basilica doors and pronounced the words that over 60,000 people gathered in candlelight were waiting to hear.
Alle 21:37, il nostro amatissimo Santo Padre Giovanni Paolo II è tornato alla casa del Padre.
At 9:37 p.m., our Holy Father returned to the house of the Father. The square erupted into a long applause as a mark of respect, and over 60,000 voices joined to intone the Salve Regina, honouring the late Pope's special dedication to Our Lady.
Salve Regina, Mater Misericordiae, Vita Dulce.
Cardinal Angelo Sodano, Vatican Secretary of State, then began to pray the De Profundis in Latin and Italian. The majority of the faithful knelt down, many of them with tears in their eyes. A few minutes later, the bells of St. Peter's Basilica tolled the death of the Bishop of Rome. Vatican Radio's Director General, Father Federico Lombardi, announced the papal death via the Pope's airwaves to the world.
This is Vatican Radio. It is with profound emotion and overwhelming affection that we announce the death of our Holy Father, John Paul II.
And still the people came, despite the hour or distance, for that one night, St. Peter's Square became the center of the world.
It's very emotional. He was with us for 27 years, and he is still with us. He's watching us from heaven.
The Pope was a wonderful person.
The media recording every single moment of what will go down in church history as one of its most profoundly moving events. The evening we witnessed the passing of a great pope.
In God's plan leads beyond itself, and new life is generated.
I'm Emer McCarthy.
During today's Angelus prayer, Pope Benedict also recalled the last days of John Paul's life. Referring to his predecessor's viewing of the Good Friday procession via television and his inability to vocalise an Easter blessing, Pope Benedict said it was the most pained and moving blessing, which left us with the extreme testimony of his will to complete his ministry until the end. Attending today's ceremony was Cardinal Polycarp Pengo, who agrees with the Pope when he says that the way the late Pope dealt with suffering will always remain a distinct witness to the world.
For me, this atmosphere already this time going to the event of his death is very, very close to my heart in this, that I was one of those who went and saw him during the very last days. And the greatness of Pope John Paul II, for me, came out even more when he was sick than when he was alive and strong.
But in his Angelus message, Benedict XVI returned to John Paul's stronger moments too. He said John Paul II will be most remembered for one of his first messages a few days after his election on October 2, 1978, "Throw open wide the doors to Christ." That appeal, said the Holy Father, embodied John Paul's entire 26-year pontificate, particularly during his many travels.
Christ offers you a friendship that does not disappoint, a fidelity beyond compare.
With the truth of Jesus, dear young people, you must face the great questions in your lives.
This call of the late Pope particularly sought its way to the heart of young people on their journeys, as those in queue to visit his tomb told us today.
It was encouraging to know that we were able to be there with all those people and united, but all I could think about was take courage, be not afraid, and knowing that the legacy that he lived is being lived on.
The Holy Father challenged young people, and Jesus Christ came and challenged the world to change and to live a life that people think that can't be lived. And that's what young people are responding to. He's challenging young people to live a life that means more than what this world is offering.
Pope Benedict XVI said that John Paul II left a deep mark on the history of the Church and of humanity. But when turning to his enormous legacy, most observe his as being focused on peace-building and justice-seeking. Director of Caritas, the Church's International Coalition of Catholic Aid Agencies, Duncan McLaren, explains.
He changed our whole attitude towards the area in which Caritas works, the area of poverty, in that he said we are all underdeveloped. So he got rid of the distinction really between the poor and the rich, and he said what we have to be is more developed, and being developed means also taking into account the cultural and the spiritual aspects of development. And he was the first person to say that so clearly. He has influenced our work tremendously over the last couple of decades.
Well, there is no justice, there can be no peace.
John Paul II was known for opposing any war. He opposed, for example, the US-led invasion of Iraq in 2003. Today, Pope Benedict launched an appeal at the end of his Angelus for Catholics to pray for peace in Iraq in an initiative launched by the local bishops for Monday and Tuesday.
Il dono della pace e della concordia in Iraq e nel mondo intero.
Pope John Paul II's quest to protect human rights stemmed from his own experience in his native Poland. He went on to become known for his role in toppling communism in Eastern Europe. Fellow Pole and friend Zbigniew Nosowski is a historian who acts as an advisor to the Pontifical Council for the Laity.
His role as a spiritual godfather of political changes that took place in Central and Eastern Europe of the fall of communism is widely recognized even by people who are not believers.
About 10,000 Poles have travelled to Rome to wave their red and white flags in honour of their hero. Others stayed to celebrate a special mass with Karol Wojtyla's once private secretary turned Archbishop of Krakow, Cardinal Stanisław Dziewicz, this morning. Later on tonight, Krakow will also be linked live to St Peter's Square. But the Roman people are also out in numbers for the foreign pope who won their hearts, as Mario Mazzotti, spokesman for the Sant'Egidio community, tells us.
We feel the loss of a father, of our father, and of our bishop, a pope that wanted first to be the bishop of Rome. And since he was really the bishop of Rome, he could be a father for all the world.
Others who have gathered for the event present how John Paul's promotion of human dignity changed the lives of anyone who heard it, like that of Erica Latham, co-director of an NGO that protects women's health.
2 years ago, I wasn't even Catholic, but thanks be to God, John Paul II's writings, particularly in his address on the dignity and vocation of woman and theology of the body, and his many works about the intrinsic dignity of human life, spoke to my heart in such a way that my life changed entirely, and that's why I'm here.
Yesterday it was announced that the first phase of John Paul II's cause for beatification has been completed. Postulator of the cause, Monsignor Slavomir Oder, released a statement saying that the diocesan or rogatorial investigations have been completed. Now Monsignor Oder can take the next step of discerning the proper miracle, for which he gets assistance from thousands of people across the world every day.
Most of these letters presents graces received by the intercession of the Pope. Every letter that arrives here we read with a great attention because they present the deep of the human soul and experience with God. But some are particular touching and moving.
Commemorative celebrations will come to a conclusion as Pope Benedict XVI presides over a mass to be held in St. Peter's tomorrow afternoon.